Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader and 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM. The Odyssey app live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us on The Fan Sports Network.
Are you confident enough to be butt naked in public?
No. No.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
Depends how many dollars are on the line.
No dollars.
No dollars.
Naked
just for
bike ride situation. I saw videos yesterday. A lot of boobies. A lot of ding-a-langs and
little ding-a-langs.
I just went like
that's
shirtless.
Not my jam, baby.
I could do ding-a-lang hanging out. I'm out. Just the idea of riding a bike naked doesn't do anything for me.
What if you're out there just like Donald Ducking it?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Could you do it?
Maybe the Donald Duck.
You could just wear a t-shirt, no bottoms?
It depends on how much Tito's involved.
You feel better, so you would feel more comfortable being in public wearing a t-shirt and being naked and everywhere else?
Yeah.
Being pantless with everything being exposed makes you feel fine, but
if you're wearing a t-shirt, you feel good?
Yeah. You need a shirt?
My t-shirts are a little longer,
so
you know?
The shirt covers
might just have
up
a little
the
peekaboo hanging out down there,
hey,
but...
Hey. 2 inches is a lot, buddy. I actually think that makes it look worse when you have a shirt that hangs and it's just barely showing past the shirt. People are like, that's all?
It's like people wear shirts in the pool. Like, just take your shirt off. What are you doing?
I'm not going to name the name.
Don't name names.
We have a coworker that I have told people, I think he's definitely swims with a shirt on guy.
I mean, I just, you know.
I got an idea.
We know what
you wouldn't guess it.
We know what
you
look like underneath there.
Oh, okay.
We know what's going on underneath there. We can see through the shirt. We know, like, it's all right.
Embrace
yourself, baby. Be out there floating around in the water.
Nobody's expecting you to be a supermodel here.
This
you
is
don't
not
have
a
to have
photo
cut abs
shoot.
And perfect pecs and big buys and killer tries.
Come on, man.
I just, you know, seeing those photos and images, I was like, kudos to these people for doing this. I could never be fully nude in public like that.
It's not my jam, dude. Not my jam. I don't really have any desire to be naked in public and let alone sit on a bike seat with nothing on.
Well, also like just...
Oh, you use a seat?
Come on, Russ.
Eyes up here, though, too. It's just like, that'd be a problem for me a little bit.
I'd want to check it all out. What do you got going on?
And it's not, I'm not, like, kind of everybody. It's just be, like, constantly looking
look at
over
you over
and...
there. Yeah, I'm taking notes of what you're doing, buddy. I see you. I see what you got working with over there.
You pumping that up a little bit? You go into a corner and make yourself feel a little happy. You're like, all right, there I am. This is who I am, really. And it's like, nah, you're really not. It's raining and cold outside, dude.
It's chilly outside right now, okay? It's 42 degrees.
I was in the pool.
This is not what it normally looks like, I promise, all right?
That's such an odd comment by you that you would need a t-shirt, but you're okay with no pants.
That's a little weird, Russ.
Do you expect anything less from me?
No. Do you wear a shirt in the pool when you go in the pool?
No.
No. Okay, good.
No.
What's the hang up then?
Let it fly, Russ. That'd fly.
Well, a wet t-shirt is uncomfortable.
Yeah, but like...
That's my main hang-up.
You're okay being shirtless in a pool. Why would you not be okay being shirtless in public?
Well, because the rest of the junk is covered up.
I think you look great topless, Russ.
I don't know that.
We got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. We'll catch up on some leftovers in the NFL and in college. We have to hear from from Scott Barnes on the firing of Trent Bray in a moment, saying, this isn't my fault, and trust me, I will make the right decision.
Boy, two things yesterday. Rob Akey really loves to talk.
He loves himself some Rob Akey.
And Scott Barnes clearly is operating in a world of, I am the smartest human to ever live,
yes,
and nobody else knows what they're doing.
Don't you dare question me!
I always love the, I don't hear the noise.
Yeah, you do.
Did you see that sign at the game? What sign? What I don't even know what you're talking about.
The stadium employees made him take it away for no reason whatsoever. Nobody saw it. Nobody saw a fire Scott Barnes sign.
What a liar.
Before we get to that, though, let's put a bow on some of the Oregon stuff. So, it's funny you mentioned, like, how are we doing 48 hours later? And it's been a weird one to adjust to. I have, as time goes on, I think there's a little more clarity in the picture of, like, I think Indiana's a really good team, and we're just having a hard time processing the fact that it's Indiana, and that's been a really difficult thing to do. Somebody asked this question earlier, and it was an interesting way to think about it that I haven't even brought up, but he said, Dirt, have you guys talked about the fact that last year Ohio State was actually benefiting from having the loss and not having to play in the Big Ten championship? If you did, I didn't hear it. Just curious if you guys covered that. And I don't know if it was as much so like that's why Ohio State went on the run. I do think they benefited from having kind of a tune-up game at home, and Oregon was sitting at home for 4 weeks. But that's not the – I mean, Ohio State was just the best team in the country last year. Hmm. Is it closer if the roles are reversed? Maybe it is a little bit. We did see Oregon beat them once during the regular season. But it is a funny angle now where you have this new era of college football, the expanded playoff. What is the right way you want to go in? Is it as fresh as possible? Do you like some of the mocks that I've seen? And I have no clue how Oregon's going to go the rest of the way. They could lose three more games and not make the college football playoff. I have no idea, but I saw some yesterday that had them at home in their first playoff game against Georgia, which would be incredible. That would be an incredible game.
Yeah,
in
but that's
December.
Georgia. It's
but it's
Kirby
Georgia.
Like,
I know
damn,
you're terrified
dude.
Of it. Of like all the teams you can play in the first round, can I get like in some random, group of six team or something, and I play them instead. But it's just the point of, like, we don't know what the best pathway is anymore. They've already changed the format one more year into the sport, so some of that was because of the way the format existed last year. I don't know if it's a benefit to not having to go to a Big Ten title game. I do think their chances of going to the Big Ten title game are very limited.
I'm going to venture to guess.
Yeah.
Dan Lanning will always want to be in the Big Ten title game to win a Big Ten title.
Winning conference championships is still an important thing.
I don't think that guy operates in the world of, it might be better that we're not here.
We did this on purpose.
I think he wants to be on the stage saying, Skedex! Taking his shirt off of McAfee and holding up another trophy anytime he possibly can.
He would love that chance.
Did you see, I was thrown back yesterday, I was reading some stuff, and then I went on and I saw... Did you see the BCS rankings got released yesterday?
Oh, yeah. What are the top 10 in the BCS?
Well, who do you think are the top-ranked teams in the BCS?
I would guess, your top three, if the BCS model is of any relevancy, your top three has to be Ohio State, Indiana, Miami. I don't know if it's in that order, though.
What would the order be for you?
I'm going to go for a computer ranking based on schedule. I'd probably go Miami 1, Indiana 2, Ohio State 3.
According to this,
because Miami's got multiple rank wins.
Say it one more time. The top three:
Miami, Indiana, Ohio State.
Nah.
What is it?
So number one and number two, Ohio State number one.
Okay.
Indiana is now number two with that win by 0.0014.
I mean, they won on the road against a top three team by double digits. That's the best win of the college football season.
Miami is number three, just narrowly behind them.
Yeah.
A&M 4. Ole Miss 5, Bama 6,
yeah.
Texas Tech 7, Georgia 8,
yeah.
Oregon 9, LSU 10.
That's about how I thought it would go. I mean, that's not that different than the AP poll either. I think it's pretty similar to that. You might have a little variance here or there.
Give you a take, dude. We should be implementing back in as part of the playoff proceedings, the BCS standings.
It's funny, too, that
there's... The top 12.
There's a metric that the SEC created in the offseason that they wanted to benefit them in terms of strength of record and strength of schedule that is now propping up Indiana as the number one team in the country because they beat a ranked team by 50 points in Illinois, and they went on the road against one against a top five team by 10, and it now has the, and according to the strength of record, whatever metric, Indiana's like number one in the country. So it's almost backfired in their face saying we play all these ranked teams. But I, you know, I didn't have a lot of juice for Rutgers at the start of the year. It's like, what? Rutgers and Maryland, some of these games, I'm just like, I'd rather play Pac-12 teams.
Well, that's why those games matter so much on Saturday. It's not a takeaway and conclusion that Oregon or any team like Oregon can't win the title. It's just, even though it didn't eliminate you, you only get two or three at most in a season.
Oh, you've used up
big
a freebie.
Boy games, yeah. And you're like, you get up for it as a fan. I'm sorry. I know the Grateful Dead gear is going to be awesome. Nobody cares about the Wisconsin game. You will steamroll them. They are terrible. They might fire Fickell by then. That game doesn't matter. And so because you have some of those games mixed with when your big boy games happen, they matter a great deal emotionally. Whether you win or lose, you put a lot of eggs in the baskets.
Well, and I think this weekend, too, now it becomes a question of, like, how do they respond? What do they look like? And Lanning talked about it yesterday in terms of the response to practice.
I think he's handled it the right way. You know, everybody looks internally and then goes back and says, okay, what could I have improved on? What could I have done better? And I think he saw a lot of moments in that game that he could have played to a higher degree and what he's capable of. He's proven that he's a good quarterback, and he didn't play to his best on Saturday. He knows that. We didn't put him in the most advantageous situations on Saturday as well, but he came in today and attacked it really well.
So that's the idea of just Dante Moore and how he's going to respond to this. And I, you know, going back and seeing all the clips of the game, and I don't have access to all 22. I wish I did, although that'd probably be a problem for me, and I'd do nothing but watch it in my spare time. But going back and watching the game and seeing some of the highlights that people have put out on the All-22 film, it was a really rough performance for him. And my feeling on the game has only gotten stronger of the offensive line is not the best unit in the country, but they're not terrible. They're going to get Evan Stewart back, by the way. That was a breaking news thing on Friday that we didn't even talk about. Dan Lanning did an interview with Chris Lowe, and he said he's ahead of schedule, and they think he's going to be back in November for that home stretch of games, which would be huge for them.
And to go from nothing all year to November is a crazy swing.
He's healing quicker than they thought initially, and they thought he was probably going to be out all year, but he stayed around. He keeps rehabbing. He's pushing, and he wants to play. And so you get a chance to get him back in the back half of the year. Like, the simple reality from that game, and I go back to this, if Dante Moore plays a B-minus game, I think that they win. He was truly that bad in terms of
what
not...
What would you grade it?
I'd give him a D at best. Yeah. The only play that he made was a schemed wide-open throw down the field that was an easy... Any quarterback with eyes should see that because it was all schemed up to go to Malik Benson. But there's just so many opportunities. And again, not the entire game is on him. You had drop passes. You had guys not fighting for first downs.
Did you hear Lanning yesterday? I know we didn't pull it because of a lot of his answers so short, but he kind of defended Dante in the, look, Dante has to play better. He knows that. He needs to make the right reads or stick with the first reads. He also just said the wide receivers are not running the right routes.
He said sometimes they weren't where they were supposed to be on their routes, and that's why there was miscommunication when he's throwing the ball. Whether it's behind a guy or ahead of a guy, it's because the guy's not where he's supposed to be. He also was critical of Stein in a roundabout way of saying, like, yeah, we should have. I was going to pull it, but it's like a 10-second cut. And it was essentially like, yeah, we didn't have the chance to run the ball a ton because we couldn't stay on the field. But, yeah, we were having success running the ball, and we need to stick with what's working. So it was an interesting press conference from him. He also acknowledged that their lack of success in the kicking game, which I would argue it should, is going to dictate fourth down decisions going forward, which I don't know why you would have any confidence in Atticus Appington. Not that he misses every kick, but it's not like it's a lock that guy's going to make it when you run him out there, even from chip shot range, because that was a pivotal six-point swing at the end of the first half. That if you go up 13-10 going into the locker room, and then you get a three and out, like maybe the vibe is different in the stadium. That was such a gut punch at the end of the first half.
It was an odd feel.
Missed the kick, and it's like, oh. And then they pick up a defensive pass interference and hit a 60-yarder from a guy who's never really kicked field goals in college.
Were you in the building for that?
I was in the building for that.
So the vibe through the energy through the TV just felt very like
it was zapped the entire building when it happened.
Yeah, it felt very like,
oh. Now we're losing at the half to Indiana?
60-yard field goal, we're losing at the half. What? And not that Oregon was playing stellar, but it just was like a weird feel through the TV. So I'm good to hear that it was like that in person.
Yeah,
I think we can look back at a lot. One, totally get people that you don't lose confidence in Dante at all. It's one game. No.
He played really well, I thought, at Penn State in a hostile, big environment, despite what Penn State has become.
Yeah.
But it does make you wonder the next time they play
a defense that can confuse you
a good
and
team.
Throw something at you. Yeah.
And I'm looking at the USC's and Washington's now. Maybe Rutgers will prove to be that this weekend.
I just don't think there's any faith that their offense will do enough to win that game.
Yeah, but that's kind of why I kind of
they might bog
Iowa
you down a little bit, but can they win the game without a passing attack?
I go back to what you highlighted on the 4th and 2, the decision to kick a field goal. And look, I don't want to hammer coaches. These decisions in games, it's easy for us to sit there and watch and make decisions.
It's all hindsight, too, because we get to see the final picture as well.
That dude's in a, at this point, defensive slugfest. And I think he's trusting his defense and saying, I'll take a tie game, right? That tied the game at 13. Or
yes, they tied the game at 13 when they made the field goal.
And I think he just rather lived in that world. The only odd thing for me, it's just not been who he's been.
No.
I remember watching that going, was it 4th and 2?
4th and 2.
4th and 2 is his comfort, like, easy go here. And it just was, and the feel of the game made him dictate,
it did.
I'm kicking a field goal here. Not a big criticism, just more of a little out of character. And that kind of, I think, sums up in general them. Some of their stuff seemed a little out of character.
That's a good way
not
to put
running
it.
The ball enough or just not doing certain things in little moments.
No doubt about it. Yeah. And the feel of the game is spot on, and Lanning always talks about that. It's not about analytics or I know that's part of his equation, but the feel is a big part of it. And so in his defense in that moment, they had gotten back to back 3-and-outs to open the second half.
Yep.
Indiana had not picked up a first down. Oregon's offense had already been stuffed on a 4th and short earlier in the game that handed Indiana a short field. And so you're probably just thinking, hey, our defense is playing great. We're struggling to move the ball. Let's just take the point. Like, I think the feel of it is
rather
exactly,
be tied than be trailing.
Right, let's just get our 3 points, and then if they score, we're at least still within one score, and we're not down by 10 or whatever the case may be. But the call ended up backfiring because Indiana scored a touchdown immediately, and without the pick six, Oregon's offense couldn't do anything the rest of the game. So we'll see how they bounce back. Losses are always funny. We got to do the autopsy, and then I'm reminded of like, oh, that's right. In his last 30 regular season games, Dan Lanning is 28-2.
Yeah, but he doesn't get up for big games, though, Dirt.
Can't win big games again. Big game Dan.
He's not no Mariner.
Laying another egg, man. Laying another egg. Let's check in the day after with your university.
Oh, God.
There was a press conference that wasn't a press conference that didn't air anywhere. It's almost like they tried to bury this so nobody could hear it, but we found it, baby. We found it.
I'd rather talk about Russ pantless.
Would you rather talk about Russ's ween or Scott Barnes' comments on the Oregon State coaching search? Pick your direction next on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sometimes you just gotta let it breathe a little bit.
Look, this is a BSB show. We are not in sync here. We know who the better band is.
Not even close.
Come on.
That's so good, dude.
I got a bit of a problem in the office.
You got a problem in the office?
Yeah.
What's your problem in the office?
Have you guys ever stumbled across, I know you have, Rusty, have you ever stumbled across the conundrum of somebody else you work with now has the same first name as you?
Oh.
So you're saying your own name out loud, like, hey, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. It just feels weird.
And I don't normally do this because Brandon's not a super unique name, but like also no. I don't meet a lot of Brandons.
Yeah, I only know, I know two other Andys. No, three. I got three Andys.
Well, now that the last president is full in dementia, we don't see him anymore. The Brandon name has been taken back.
Yes, you now have welcomed Brandon back to the fold.
It's us.
Yeah, we're no longer Let's Going.
And we have a new coworker, and his name is Brandon. He's great. And I said, hey, Brandon. And I just was like, should we?
This is weird.
I don't want to do like pet nicknames.
We got to go last name. Do you go last name? Is that easier? Because people call you Sprague more than they call you Brandon.
100%. People only say Brandon or my mom and or if I'm in trouble.
Very few people call you Brandon.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, have him call you Sprague. You call him Brandon. And then we're good.
See, but I need
still
his
weird
last
for
name.
You because you need the last name?
Yeah, it's weird for me.
Saying your first name does sound weird. It's like when you say a word over and over and over again and then it starts to not sound, it sounds like mumbo jumbo at some point.
Well, there's not a lot of Andys out there. Have you
not
ever
a lot
worked
of
with another Andy?
No, but I went to school with Andy. My brother had a good friend whose name was Andy. I played football with a guy named Andy. Football with two guys named Andy.
What'd you go with?
I was always Johnson. I never
or
went
dirt,
by
I guess.
Dirt in high school, so I never. Nobody has ever really called me Andy my entire life.
I grew up like going to school at least two, three other Jeffs in every class.
Yeah, like Jeff, yeah.
Pretty
common in
Chicago.
The 80s.
There was other name. Jeffs. And,
a lot of Jeffs back in the day. I feel like Jeff's gone by the way of the dodo. There's not as many Jeffs as there used to be.
Are there more Jeffs or Johns?
More Johns.
Really?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's more Johns.
Yeah. Also, your last name, like Rust, Rusty, like it's a pretty...
You probably got Rusty Trombone a lot.
Well, I got Rusty Nail.
Rusty Nail.
Yeah.
Did most people call you Jeff, though?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. See, it feels weird when I call you Jeff.
My name is Jeff.
When I have to email you audio, it's weird to type in Jeff.
Yeah, it is strange.
Because the only Jeff for me is Austin.
The last name thing is just a guy thing. Like, do girls do the last name thing with their friends? Because that's a like genuine guy thing. Guys do that.
I don't think... Do
when you're
do
on
it?
Teams, when you're on in locker rooms, it's always like last name. All of my buddies in high school were usually last names.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've ever seen another woman call...
Girl to girl last name?
Yeah, I've never seen that in my life.
I feel like it's probably either their first name or some sort of a epithet.
Ooh. Hey, you queen.
Sure.
You think it's like that?
I don't know what they do.
That's also like, we're sitting here assuming like as if they don't fart either.
They don't.
And you know they go to those ladies' rooms and they're just ripping.
They're Kim Jong-un. Mm. No pee poop. Your athletic director talked yesterday.
Oh, we want to get into this.
We got to get into this, Hey, Scott Barnes, my co-host doesn't think you're the right guy to make the next hire.
Just me.
Just Brandon Sprague. He's the only one doubting out there. Nobody else doubts other than Brandon Sprague. What's your response to that, Scott?
Yeah, well, look, I've hired five Division I head coaches in football. All have gone, the last four have all gone on to Power Five jobs. And I've done this before. So we'll get this right. It is very different. So what makes it different is certainly the runway that we have in front of us and a clear direction and a vision. And I'll remind everybody that last time we made the hire, we didn't know where we were going. Conference-wise, we had no we hoped and we put a plan together. But now we have a clear vision of where we're going, and it's exciting to have that opportunity.
In your face, idiot.
What?
He's hired five football coaches, and all of them have gone on to Power Five jobs, other than the one he just fired.
He also used to be a power five team.
So you're acknowledging that you can't retain a good coach? If you hire a good coach, you're already acknowledging he's going to leave? Like, I don't
also,
know,
your runway?
Weird. We got a good
runway.
You're
0-7.
We got a runway.
With nobody showing up to football games. I think it's runway the middle to bottom of that new conference you're speaking
I think the runway is just the calendar of, like, we didn't fire him at the end of the year, so we have months now to go vet candidates. I think that is what he's trying to say.
I think the runway is as they take a few steps and jump off the cliff with the hang glider.
Keep going here. Now you just, Brandon Sprague, noted Beaver hater.
Oh, yeah.
Just proclaimed, not a good job.
$22,680.
Not a good job, yeah, according to Brandon Sprague.
Yeah, okay.
Scott Barnes says, hey, dumbass. Yeah, it is.
I don't think it's a little. I think it's a lot of stability. We've got a great trajectory in front of us. Not only that, as you look back in history here at Oregon State, this will be the first time that we have been on the top of the conference in resources. And so when you think about this opening, it's the best job in the big in the Pac-12. It is the best job in the Pac-12. Why? Facilities, resources, fan support, all combined to make this an excellent job.
There was nobody there this weekend.
It came off 3,000 people at a football game.
Boise State just went to the College Football Playoff, in case we're forgetting that. You know what the great follow-up would have been? Like, the resource thing, and I've seen a lot of Beaver fans put this out, and it's hilarious to point.
Good stadium.
I mean, in the company you're in now, there's no doubt about it. Do you know he makes twice as much as Boise State's athletic director?
Yeah, he gave himself that raise when our conference blew up.
That would have been my first question.
The president
question
was like, yeah, you got it, buddy.
You
here
got
you go.
It. We got all this money on hand.
Wait,
we just won the
just
lawsuit.
Give yourself a raise?
You can, evidently.
He basically did.
I'm going to try that one with Cooley today. I'm going to walk into the office. So I've decided, you know, 10% raise. What do you think?
This just isn't quite cutting it.
You know, I just need to make a little bit more money around here. He said, hey, we got the best resources in the new conference, baby. And then Barnes and Sprague finally simpatico on one thing.
Oh, what's that?
And it's the one thing we all knew how it went, and he threw old Trent under the bus a little bit here.
You know, the business of college football is really impatient. And as I think about where we're going, there's a couple things. One is that I've always empowered the head coach to make those decisions, and rarely have I had to step in to help move that forward, and in this case, I did. That ultimately speaks to wanting somebody that has the leadership capacity to make some of those decisions. I think the ultimate decision, the timing is good. You see decisions that are made 2 weeks in. Let's remember, this is a first-year head coach, second-year head coach, who is halfway through the season in his second year. And so I felt like we were methodical and disciplined in evaluating the process, and ultimately felt like timing was good to do it after the Wake Forest game.
So he admits the thing we all knew, and that was that Trent Bray refused to fire the special teams coordinator, and then Barnes had to step in and essentially fire him. Now, it clearly didn't help because they had a field goal block that should have been ran back for a touchdown this weekend with their new special teams coordinator, who, by the way, is now the interim head coach.
Yeah, by the way, I had like 5-minute answers to every question. It ended with everything of, I don't know if I answered your question, but you know what I mean.
So he's basically saying, I want to hire a coach who's going to be willing to fire coaches who aren't very good. And Trent Bray wasn't willing to fire coaches very good. I also love the idea that 3 games into year 2 is too early, but 6 games into year 2 is just enough time.
By the way, how many times did it feel like he kept mentioning stability?
Yeah. Shut up about the sun. Shut up about the sun.
They got stability now.
Dude, you 2 weeks ago said he was the man for the job.
2 weeks ago.
And then you fired him. Okay. But you're going to talk about stability?
Now it's stability and fan support when people are as checked out. That is a fan base that I don't know if they've ever been more checked out. And they'll be back if you win and you hire the right guy and you win 9 games next year and you look good. Like, hey.
No, even during the 1-11 season, the thing was
this is
still
checked
in the Pac-12.
Out. Yes.
The conference still existed. We didn't know it was going to get blown up. And then Jonathan. And it was like, oh, our own guy who's an offensive guy? Okay, here we go.
And even that season was a disaster. But at least the year before that, you ended on a high note and you beat Oregon in the Civil War and you ended that streak. Like, there were at least some positives along the way.
I mean, he did a bunch of stuff yesterday. I thought Ryan Clark, first of all, great questions, Ryan Clark. I thought Ryan Clark did a great job. That's not a shot at anybody else. I just thought Ryan Clark did really good. His piece is up at OregonLive.com. Like, he was asked about the Kyle Bjornstad kid.
who just walked away and continues to be cryptic on Twitter but not say anything.
It's a weird look. I just,
you're going to hop on the radio and do an interview. You're more than welcome. But like this whole tweeting cryptic stuff and never saying anything is weird.
Yeah, you got to air it out, dude. Like this is how you have to hold people accountable. Like if what they're saying is wrong and what their storyline of events is misleading and they're lying about things, like put it out on the record. You got nothing to lose. You're not working for it anymore.
I just, you know, it feels like a bit of a beat a dead horse thing, but he talked for the first time to the mass media, not just one his buddies. My takeaway is this dude thinks he's the smartest person in every room. He is going to be right on everything until he isn't, and then he'll just point to his history of how successful my hires have been. And
yes.
Good luck. You know, it's not that they won't hire the right coach with the 95 people they're going to pay to come up with the hire, and then he'll take credit for it, but it's more like, I thought that was tone deaf in many ways, and I'm not very encouraged about the leadership right now of the institution.
Nor should you be. Mail sack questions are welcome. 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. We'll get to them coming up at 9:15. Let's dive into a couple other nuggies out of the college football world, including one team getting hosed. The next coach is on the hot seat and a couple other reactions from the weekend that we have not talked about yet. That is next, but first here's Russ with SportsCenter.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some thoughts coming in on last name. Somebody said, my last name is Walker. I've been called Walker Texas Ranger more in my life than I can count.
Yeah, sadly, I would always want to say, that's where the Ranger's going to be. Every time I'd see you.
I mean, my wife's best friend is almost unanimously called by her last name, and then she got married and took her husband's last name, and she's still known by her maiden last name. I want to now know, like, you probably don't want to say it over
the
air.
Well, was it a divorced last name that she had that she was called? Or
no, maiden name. Original maiden name. Okay. Yeah, right. But then she got married and changed the last name, but people still call her the maiden name.
I'm cool with that. I call my wife by her maiden name sometimes, too, as a joke.
Do you really?
Yeah. What up, winner? Because she was a win.
Yeah, that's a fun one to say.
Nagayan, as whites say it sometimes incorrectly.
Giannis.
I mean, my
Antetokounmpo.
God.
I even laugh when I hear like the Nguyen. It's like, no, it's not Nguyen. It's Win.
How are you saying it?
Win.
Oh, you're not saying it right.
That's not correct. No, you racist right. bastard.
Yeah. I had a fraternity brother. That was his last name.
He said that's one of he let you say it the wrong way.
He lets you get away with it.
They go through it a lot in their life.
Do people, when people call you the wrong name, do you ever correct them? Because that happens from me time to time.
I'm actually done doing it.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I just let it go.
Spragoo.
Hey,
right here.
Hey. That's me. Hey. What do you need? All right.
Is that Brandy?
Yep. I'm going to fight back on that.
I heard that. That's my.
I now, 3 days later, am still trying to figure out how Auburn's quarterback sneak was not a touchdown at the end of the first half. Either way. So for those who didn't see the game, it was 10-10, end of the first half. There's 90 seconds to go. Jackson Arnold, the Auburn quarterback, attempts a quarterback sneak. He's pushing, leaning the ball over the goal line.
It's 10-0 at this
point. It's 10-0. This touchdown makes it, if they score, 17-0 at the end of the first half, essentially. There's about a minute and some change to go. The ball gets knocked out. What happens to the loose football, you might ask? Let me tell you. Georgia picks it up and runs it back 100 yards the other direction for a touchdown. So you'd think, all right, that either crossed the plane or it's a Georgia touchdown, right? That's the rational response. Nope, they called it a fumble and gave Georgia the ball on the 1 yard line because evidently they blew the whistle, despite multiple angles showing what I thought the ball to be crossing the goal line. But I think they ended up calling it a fumble on the field so they couldn't overturn the call. That then led to Kirby Smart in the second half getting away with the most blatant lie I have ever seen a coach get away with, in which he called timeout and then yelled at the officials and bullied them into saying, no, I was just clapping on the sideline. I wasn't calling timeout. And the officials bought it hook, line, and sinker and said, oh, you're right, Kirby.
Yeah.
And then just gave him a free timeout. They reset. Georgia goes on to win the game.
Yeah, that was tough, man, because you don't. I don't want to take anything away from Georgia winning at Auburn, hostile, loud
tough
environment.
Tough place to go play.
But 17-0, buddy, that makes you feel a lot different than what did it end up being, 10-3? Because they didn't count the touchdown.
They didn't count the touchdown.
They started at the one.
And I think they got a field goal.
They ended up getting
half.
A field goal, working their way out of the situation.
Yes,
so,
they did. It was 10-3 at the half.
Yeah, so 17-0 versus 10-3, and fans hostile. Did you catch Hugh Freeze's interview walking into the half?
I did, dude. He was.
He basically was ready to
I'll take
destroy
all the
SEC refs, and he stopped himself twice. So
his job is on the line, and they make a call that bad and then let Kirby get away with the timeout I was clapping in the second half. I've never seen an officiating crew that incompetent to bow down to a coach to that level.
Well, I can't believe I'm saying this. I didn't know you'd get to Auburn today. I
just had that was a big
feeling bad
me.
For Hugh Freeze and Auburn because they've now been railroaded twice in SEC games in which.
Yes, the Oklahoma game. They admitted after the game.
Could have beaten Oklahoma and very well should have.
They'd be 5-1 and 2-1 in SEC play.
And now his name is being thrown out as, is Auburn going to open up because, right. Well, the golf stuff and the three coordinators stuff.
Yes.
But he should be 5-1. Real argument for it.
The only loss would be on the road at A&M, and they were in that game. That was a one-possession game, and A&M's undefeated in the top five.
How many points did Georgia end up with?
20 in the game.
So if they don't count that fumble and they give him the touchdown, which I can kind of see an argument to say the ball started wiggling right at the beginning of the goal line, but it shouldn't have come down to that.
Either way, it has to be a touchdown, though, because the ball comes loose. And if you're telling me it's a fumble, the Georgia player picks it up and runs it back 100 yards.
I have a hard time seeing them lose that game if it's 17-0 at the half versus 10-3, and it ended up being 20-10 as a final.
That was a bonkers game. While Georgia gets the win, now their reward is to go, I think they host Ole Miss this weekend. Yeah, they get Ole Miss at home. So that's the big game in the SEC this weekend. Top five matchup between Georgia and Ole Miss. Is USC back? Are we fearful of USC the rest of the way?
No, they need to win. 31-13. They need to win this weekend.
Was pretty dominant against Michigan on Saturday night.
I give them their flowers. Their offensive numbers have been amazing.
Yeah.
Minus a bad interception. Mayava's been great. We know the receivers are NFL talented. Like
their top two running backs, by the way, are out too. They lost their starter in the game, and then the backup, I think, is done for the year as well.
Their defense certainly played really, really well. They need their prove it's are on the road. And that's not like a hot, that's a fact. Like, good win, slight, what were they, a slight favorite against Michigan.
They were
just kind of running away
game,
with that game.
Yeah.
Go beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame. That will start to make me go, oh, I think they can be a 9-8 win team. Certainly. You beat Notre Dame and I start to entertain the idea of being a playoff USC team. Like, that is in the forefront of my brain if you win at Notre Dame. They need road victories. Winning at home, Lincoln's had some road or some home wins.
Yeah, even at USC. They should have beat Penn State and Notre Dame at home last year.
Yes.
They just let the game slip through their fingers and won in overtime, and then the other one they threw some pick sixes late in the game.
They need the road wins. The road wins come. Yeah, you beat Notre Dame this weekend. We certainly need to have a conversation of, oh, Duck fan is circling. Not that they weren't before, but you're really circling of, okay, all right, maybe USC's got it this year.
Yeah, if they prove they can do it on the road, I do think that wakes you up a little bit for that game. I'm trying to find it. Somebody had a graphic yesterday, and I can't, but it was essentially on his home and road splits at USC, and it's bonkers how bad it is. Like, they're a really good team at home. They're scoring like 45 points per game, giving up 20-something. And then they go on the road. He's below 500. They're scoring like barely 30 points per game and giving up almost 30 points
per game. That Illinois game does not look good by the day either.
No, and they would say we were decimated by injuries, but Illinois could say that about the game against Indiana when they didn't have anybody healthy in the secondary. So that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. Big one for them this weekend. I'm with you. Show it on the road, and then I think you start waking some people up. They're on the road at Notre Dame this week, and then I think they go on the road to Nebraska the very next week. Am I correct there? I am correct there. I don't know if it's back-to-back weeks or if there's a bye, but their next two games are at Notre Dame and at Nebraska. So they'll have their chances to do it.
Those are two very good wins. Even if Nebraska's not world beaters this year, those would be two solid, like, hey, man,
hey,
it's different.
Good.
And be like, okay, I get it.
Coming up next, which stock are we buying more after a couple of impressive W's? You got to buy a stock. Which one are we buying? That's next, 105.1 FM The Fam. All right, Landon Tangwall coming up top of the hour. He covers the Big Ten, Penn State, former Penn State offensive lineman. He's been doing some really good film breakdowns. I'm curious what has stood out to him in watching the tape of Oregon's offense and what went wrong. Is it fixable?
Well, and he's a Penn State grad. He played at Penn State, so we'll get a good read of boots on the ground of the Franklin stuff. And
where
does he think it's Cignetti and nobody else?
I'll be curious. So Landon Tangwall coming up here in about 10 minutes from now. I give you $50 to buy a stock. I'm curious which stock we're buying. I thought there was a theme of last night of those were, I don't know if it's like a must win this early in the season. I don't know how people feel about that. But just in terms of like, oh, they won. And then, oh, they won too. Mm-hmm. That was my theme of last night. Atlanta lost 30-0 a couple of weeks ago to the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
It was ugly. Mm-hmm. The Carolina Panthers. They beat the Bills last night, 24-14. They got a pick late in the game to seal it. They were good throughout. Robinson was dominant, had the long 80-yard touchdown run. Drake London torched them. And you're like,
half a shoe away from like an all-time and-a-half breakdown by the Bills there.
Insane.
On that London catch.
So 24-14 win. Atlanta moves to 3-2, above 500. Now, Tampa's still in first place in the division, but you go, well, all right. And then the nightcap is Chicago leading most of the night, giving up the lead, getting the late fumble, and you're like, oh my God, are the Bears going to get a good luck break here after losing to this team on a Hail Mary last year? And they did. Moody hits the game-winning kick. So both teams now sit at 3-2. And I thought that was the story for me of last night. Those were really impressive wins for teams that were, depending on the size of the underdog, but both of them were underdogs going into those Monday Night Football games. Whose stock are we buying more as an NFC player?
God.
The Chicago Bears or the Atlanta Falcons?
I think I still lean the Falcons. And I think you could certainly make an argument they're the same team in a lot of ways.
Inconsistent quarterback play.
I mean, was everybody else in their living room watching that game going, the Falcons are going to Falcon?
Yeah,
their offense
assumed.
Was doing nothing in the second half.
Yes.
They scraped together that final drive to even get a field goal.
They're up 21-7 at the half. They only got a field goal in the second half. That was all they scored.
And look, Buffalo, to their credit, on the other side for Atlanta's defense, Buffalo only scored the touchdown.
Yeah.
They kind of made it a nightmare night for Josh Allen and made life difficult. I would lean the Falcons. You still get to play the Saints.
Yep.
Whereas the Bears have the Packers and the Lions. And the Vikings are a wild card because I don't know who's going to quarterback, but they're the Vikings.
Yeah.
So I kind of lean Falcons more for schedule. They have a big one coming up here. I have it on my refrigerator because I was at a preseason game. Yeah, their next game is at San Francisco Sunday on Sunday Night Football.
Sunday Night Football against the banged-up 49ers.
And I have no clue who's playing for San Francisco anymore. Even as a fan, I'm kind of done checking every day. Like, I'll just wait and see.
Who got hurt today?
But no Fred Warner. Secondary has not recorded an interception. It's like their longest streak in their franchise's history without having an interception.
Bosa's out for the year. Kittle might be back at this week, but I don't know if that does anything for you.
I don't know what the offense is going to be. There's question marks there, but that's going to be a true test for them. You went at San Francisco on Sunday night. Look, Penix has been... I went and looked at him and Nix's numbers.
Yeah, to compare them.
They're fine. They're actually not great, but they're not bad either.
No.
For what they are so far, they're still learning in a lot of ways.
Both of them are still alive. They're not 1-5 at this point in the season. They're in the mix.
Weirdly, Caleb's projected to have better numbers than either of them.
Yes, he is.
But, you know, good win by the Bears. Sloppy little turnover there at the end by the Commanders. They got off to a great start, but they couldn't hold the lead. And then they were gifted the fumble. Credit where credit is due, but if you maybe pick one stock-wise, I still think I'd lean the Falcons.
The funny thing about the NFL is just the putting side-by-side graphics up of the final score of the Falcons losing 30-0 to the Carolina Panthers and then beating the Buffalo Bills by 10.
Panthers are 500.
The Panthers are 500.
I think they play...
They are 500.
The Panthers play like the Dolphins or somebody this
so
weekend.
So they're going to be above 500. Now, if it's on the road, I don't trust them, but they are undefeated at home this year.
I don't
year.
Know if you should trust them
no,
in general.
No, you shouldn't trust them
it's
at all.
It's at Jets.
They're at the Jets this weekend. What's the line? What's the line on that game?
according to ESPN, that line is...
The Jets are due. The Jets are due for a dub.
Dude, it's a 1.5. Who's favored?
It has to be the Panthers. It has to be. The Jets cannot be favored in a football game. They had -10 total passing yards. No, they cannot be favored. I refuse to believe it.
Yeah, it's the Panthers, 1.5 favored.
That tells you all you need to know. If you're only 1.5 favorite against that team right now.
The Panthers at 4-3.
I don't do anything with them.
The fakest 4-3 of my life.
They still suck. But nice win for Atlanta. Nice win for Chicago.
Who do you pick?
I'd agree with you. I'd take Atlanta. There's a little bit more credibility built up there.
Caleb had almost a pick. He had a couple plays where it was like, I thought he made some good plays. The touchdown to Odunze late that they got called for illegal formation.
Yes.
Great throw. Great catch. Like, Odunze, I think, has come on this year for them. Now, I know Moore got hurt, but, you know, I like some of the stuff, and then he still has a couple throws where I'm like, dude, what are you doing there?
Well, the reason I think it's interesting is because you look at the NFC playoff picture right now, and the NFC, NFC East, who do we feel confident making the playoffs? Just Philly, right? Anybody other than Philly?
Commanders.
Oh, I guess, touche. Commanders are still in that mix.
You forget about the Commanders,
the
don't
commies
you?
Are in that division. They shouldn't be the Commies, but they are in that division.
Cowboys are hanging. They're hanging around.
I'm not saying the Cowboys are eliminated. The Giants just got a huge win over Philly, so maybe the Giants. I think the point I'm trying to make is the NFC wildcard race seems genuinely wide open right now. NFC West, you have the 49ers at 4-2 are in first place, but I don't know if anybody believes that will continue.
That could snap this weekend
right?
in Seattle.
Seattle can't win games at home, but they can win games on the road. It's a very weird thing right now.
Rams just lost Nacua.
So there's a weird kind of back end in the NFC that seems a little open and available, depending on how the next couple of weeks go, that maybe one of these two teams ends up jumping into that mix.
If you're ever going to snap your home blues, it has to be on Monday Night Football against the Texans.
They're playing the Texans on Monday Night Football this week?
Yeah. Damn, Isaac and Souped on the show Monday.
No, I think it's a late game. I think they do have a two-hour show. I think it's like a 7:30
kick.
Oh,
it is. It's a 7
o'clock
kick.
It's one of those stupid late ones. It's the true doubleheader Monday Night Football.
Oh, we're doing the doubleheader.
It's not a staggered game. It's a doubleheader of Monday Night Football. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Mail sack coming up at 9:15. Get your questions in, 503-864-6326. We'll answer them. It'll probably be two sacks today, but that's okay. We like our sacks so far. Let's start, though, with Landon Tangwall, who's covering Penn State. What does he make of the firing of James Franklin and his film breakdown of Oregon, Indiana? We'll talk to him next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.